Medicare, it's done well for us so far.
I thought the process was complicated and overwhelming.
What are some of your biggest questions?
Just having the right coverage.
There are some costly mistakes people make. Help us avoid them.
Know your enrollment timeframes. Plan ahead so you know what's coming at you down the road.
People have lots of questions when it comes to Medicare. When should I enroll? How much will it cost? What supplemental plan should I consider? Hi, I'm Allie Donnelly. Welcome to Fidelity's Money Unscripted. We're talking all things Medicare. We want to help you get the confidence to make choices about your coverage that are right for you. So we're going to be talking with Ryan Little on Fidelity's Medicare Services team. She's going to answer common questions, but also help us avoid costly mistakes some people make. First, meet a group of women who are nice enough to share their time and table to talk to us about their own Medicare experiences.
Don't blink.
I know.
Because it happens, you know?
I'm like, how did I turn 65? When did that happen?
We're here to talk about Medicare. Nancy, you recently turned 65. Give me your overall impression of the enrollment process.
A little bit confusing. And there's lots of steps and lots of timelines that you have to be aware of. Mm. And I definitely made a few mistakes along the way.
Janet, you have a bit of a different perspective, right? You've been enrolled for a few years. How is it now that you're a little bit into the process?
Honestly, I did not have any issues at all.
Great.
When I applied for Medicare mm-hmm. and Social Security.
Well, guess you're smarter than me.
And how do you find it now?
Very easy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, very easy. You do have to know you need a supplement insurance. There's all different things. The difference is my husband and I have friends that are older than us, and they went through the process, and they passed it down to us.
There it is, right? Jean Marie, you still have a little ways to go before you need Medicare. Don't show off. You know, like, you know, except the ladies.
Yeah, okay, she's younger. Yeah,
a baby.
But, you know, when you hear about, a little complicated, if we didn't have our friends helping us, what are you thinking as you were getting ready to enroll in Medicare?
Overwhelmed, yeah. Definitely. Had no idea, to be honest with you. I'm so grateful that I'm learning now through friends because I had no idea.
What are some of your biggest questions?
I want to make sure I have the best coverage and I'm not, you know, financially burdened or
that's a big
exposed
one.
In any way.
Yeah.
I think we just want peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's one.
You don't want to be worried about
hot
that.
Hot enough to be aging, never mind to have anything else on top of it, you know?
Yeah. We're going to get back to Janet, Nancy, and Jean Marie throughout the episode, but I want to bring in Fidelity's Ryan Little to the conversation. Hey, Ryan.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, the women had and continue to have a lot of questions, and I know it's just a sampling of the questions your team gets. So I want to dig in. First and foremost, this is a Fidelity podcast. We're a financial services firm. So why are we talking about Medicare?
Well, healthcare is such a giant piece of the retirement picture. So it's only natural that Fidelity wants to help with that. Recent Fidelity research, in fact, shows that for a 65-year-old retiring today, they could be facing upwards of $172,500 of healthcare expenses in retirement. So it only makes sense for Fidelity to help people plan in a proactive way, in a holistic way, for all of retirement, including healthcare.
So big picture, what is Medicare?
Yes. So starting there, Medicare is a federal health insurance program. It was developed for people age 65 and up, but also for younger people, with certain disabilities or certain health conditions. When it comes to Medicare, it's very individual. It's only you on that plan. So no more spousal coverage or family coverage.
Yeah, that was a big adjustment for the women in our Medicare roundtable. So I want to check back in with them.
I really was trying to time everything. And I think that it's a little bit complicated because my son just turned 26 in April. Mm-hmm. I turned 65 in May.
Yeah.
So he came off my plan. I was most concerned about him. Mm-hmm. Some people probably are just doing what Janet did and just going, you know, you weren't dropping anyone off your plan, right?
No.
You were just,
no.
You and Steve are on the plan. And right. So made that a little bit easier probably.
Janet, you had to do it, like Nancy said. So how was it for you?
I waited until I chose to retire. Mm. So I didn't do it at 65. I did it at 66 and a half. So I didn't really have those moving pieces that
right.
I had to. Yes, you do have to go down and meet with the people at the Social Security office, which isn't always easy.
Right.
They
did you go to a class or anything?
No, I did not go to a class.
All right, Jean Marie, you're hearing this. What are you thinking?
Well, I have a 21-year-old daughter, so I'll be in the same boat.
She's on your insurance?
She is, yeah. So I will be on in the same boat as Nancy, you know, wanting to keep her on my plan until she's 26.
In terms of overall costs, like let's think about big picture. What surprised you? Or were there any surprises?
It's expensive. Mm. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Because you're paying a Medicare premium, you're paying a prescription plan, you're paying eye plan, you're paying dental plan. It's very expensive.
All separate.
Okay.
Right?
All separate.
Yeah.
I did compare, and because I was on an expensive family plan, I believe I'll be saving a couple hundred dollars a month once everything is squared away.
Oh, great.
Before we get into those varying costs and various parts, talk to me about avoiding what some people have found to be really costly Medicare mistakes.
You know, the most common mistakes I see is first, missing those specific enrollment timeframes that are unique to you. You know, in general, that could result in penalties, financial penalties. It could result in a gap of coverage. Uh-huh. So it's just really important to know your timeframes. Secondly, the most common one I see is relating to prescription drug coverage, Part D prescription drug coverage. So generally speaking, Medicare wants to see everyone who is eligible for Medicare covered with prescription drug coverage. Mm. So that means that if possibly you delay your Medicare, and I know that we'll probably talk about that in just a moment, you know, and remain on a group employer plan, or maybe you're a veteran and you're covered under VA coverage for your prescription medications, mm-hmm. That is considered creditable coverage. And what that means is that that coverage is expected to pay on average as much as Medicare would.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if you're not covered on something that's creditable coverage by way of the group employer plan or VA coverage, you should be enrolled into a Medicare prescription drug coverage plan. Mm. If you're not, they will penalize you down the road when and if you eventually do enroll into Medicare prescription coverage. And that penalty is pretty stout. So what they do is they will take the number of months that you went without coverage and multiply that 1% of the national average for that year and however many months you went. So for example, if you were without prescription drug coverage for 5 years, let's say that's 60 months, they're going to penalize you 60% for every month that went by that you were not covered on top of what you're paying for your prescription drug plan.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That could be quite something. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's important to know, too, that that penalty doesn't go away. It lasts for the remainder of your life. There's no cap on it.
I want to make sure I understand that when you say that's for your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I miss the 5 years, I'm going to be paying for that penalty the rest of my days?
Absolutely.
Even though it was just the 5 years?
That's correct. And that's even if you're not taking any prescription medications, too. So, you know, people coming into Medicare, transitioning for the first time, they say they're not taking any prescription medications. Why am I going to pay for prescription drug coverage?
Yeah.
That makes sense. But not to Medicare. You need to be covered even if you're not taking any meds.
So it's just tacked on for the future state.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So many people are continuing to work and don't retire right at 65.
Mm-hmm.
What if I delay retirement, but I'm still on my employer's health plan? Do I have to enroll in Medicare at that point?
Maybe not.
Okay.
You want to discover if your employer group plan is considered, again, that term creditable coverage.
That magic word, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. If it's considered creditable coverage and your employer meets some certain requirements, then you can actually stay on your group employer plan through your working time and delay your Medicare coverage without fear of being penalized later on by late enrollment penalties.
Okay. There are alphabet soup of Medicare, four different parts from Part A through Part D.
Yes.
Let's break them down. And why don't we start with Part A?
Absolutely. So original Medicare, Part A, is hospital insurance.
Okay.
So it covers items like inpatient hospital care, skilled nursing, hospice care, and in certain situations, home health care.
Okay.
Okay. Now, original Medicare Part B, that is medical coverage. That covers items such as outpatient services or visiting your doctor's office or your primary care physician, for example.
All right. Let's talk through A and B. What costs could I expect there?
Yes. Simple question. No simple answer there.
Okay.
So generally speaking, original Medicare, Part A and B, each have associated monthly premiums. They each have deductibles or maybe co-pays and co-insurance. However, when it comes to Part A, most people don't have to pay monthly premiums for Part A.
Okay.
And that is thanks to those taxes that you paid during your working years.
All right. Okay? So there is some good that comes of that.
Absolutely. Now, conversely, Part B, Part B has a premium that most everyone is going to pay. That starts at about $185 this year. It could vary year by year, but it also can be up to $600 in some cases for folks with higher income.
This feels like a great spot to head back to our table.
One of my concerns was if you get hospitalized, one of the plans you pay up front. I was concerned about that. I was concerned about co-pays. I wanted the plan that had the best coverage, the best prescriptions, covered travel, and that isn't going to be a huge out-of-pocket expense for everything.
In terms of overall cost, tell me about that for your drug coverage.
Not all prescriptions are covered. For instance, there's a particular shot that my husband's trying to get for his knee, and it's not covered whatsoever, and it's like $1,200 but other than that, his regular medication and my regular medication, maybe $2.
Oh, great.
Yeah. For 60-day supply.
Really, the medication was my biggest concern.
So if a medication came up that was very expensive under the Medicare plan, did you go back to your doctor?
I did, actually.
Did you adjust?
I did. Okay. I wrote to my doctor and said, you know, thinking about going on Medicare, and can you see, is there an alternative drug that I can take instead of this? And he said, yes.
I just say to myself, thank God I don't take a lot of medicine, but that could all change by then.
Amen, sister. Let's talk about our other options to pay those healthcare costs.
Absolutely. Well, first to kind of level set. So original Medicare, Part A and Part B, that generally covers about 80% of your medical costs.
Okay.
So you're left over with 20% exposure that is your responsibility. So the additional coverage that you mentioned is really there to help mitigate that exposure and help cover some of those expenses on the back end.
And what could we consider?
So this additional coverage comes in kind of two different paths, okay? So, you know, the first path is selecting a Medicare supplement plan, also known as Medigap, along with a Part D prescription drug coverage. That's kind of like, you know, a bundle plan, okay? The other path that you could select is a Medicare Advantage plan. That's also known as a Part C plan, sometimes referred to as an all-in-one type of plan.
Okay. I know this is one of the biggest questions you get just right out of your answer, right? So what's the difference between a Medicare Advantage and supplemental plan?
Both of these options or directions do help mitigate your out-of-pocket exposure after original Medicare. Medicare Advantage plans first, or Part C, those are all-in-one type of plans. Mm-hmm. They offer everything that original Medicare offers you as far as coverage goes, but they also include additional coverage, maybe for prescription drug benefits built into the plan, or maybe even coverage for dental or vision or hearing, all tacked into one plan.
So what type of person might they be good for?
So Medicare Advantage plans might be a good fit for those who want a lower monthly premium and are comfortable paying co-pays and co-insurance as they go, as they utilize those medical services. They might be comfortable seeking care within a defined provider network. And also for those who want prescription drug coverage and extra benefits included all in one plan, one coverage, one ID card that you use all the time.
All right. Then what's a Medicare supplemental or supplement plan?
Sure. So a Medicare supplement, also known as Medigap, mm-hmm. along with a Part D prescription drug combination, those plans come secondary to Medicare. So you have to have original Medicare in place before you enroll into a Medicare supplement or a Part D plan.
And who might think perhaps that's the path for them?
Medicare supplement plans may be good for people who are comfortable paying higher monthly premiums to limit out-of-pocket spending on coinsurance and copays, want the freedom to access doctors and hospitals throughout the United States as long as they accept Medicare, and they're willing to buy those extra benefits like dental and vision separately.
Okay, let's get back to our Medicare roundtable to talk about those initial signups of Part A and Part B for them.
One thing that I didn't realize is that you can't even get the supplemental plans until you get A and B. I thought I was going to go on the computer, get A and B immediately. It took about 35 days for them to look at my file and approve the A and B.
Wow.
And because I waited, and then so I was doing that in June, and my plan was expiring in July, so I kind of cut it close.
Yeah.
So now my medications don't even kick in until September. I had no idea that was going to happen. I thought everything was going to be effective August 1st.
That's a learning curve.
Oh, definitely, that I have to allow enough time. Could you have done it differently?
Well, I probably should have done it all in May, but I was still making decisions about staying or not or whatever on our company plan, waiting to see what those numbers look like.
Oh, interesting. So pay attention to timelines.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Yeah.
I will.
You know, Ryan, we mentioned earlier that the cost of Medicare varies depending on your income. Mm. Map that out for me.
So, for example, when you sign up for your Medicare Part B, Social Security is going to take a look at your tax returns from 2 years prior.
And just then, 2 years?
Just 2 years at that moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on a calculation of your modified adjusted gross income, the acronym for that is MAGI, they're going to determine if you have to pay an additional surcharge on top of the base monthly premium for Part B that everybody pays.
Okay.
That surcharge is known as the income-related monthly adjustment amount, or IRMA for short.
If someone does have to pay those IRMA surcharges, are they stuck paying them the rest of their life?
Well, it depends. So if you are someone that has higher income, you know, throughout the years, even though your income might fluctuate, you might be stuck paying those IRMA surcharges.
Okay.
However, if you have a drop in your income and it can be directly correlated to what Social Security recognizes as a life-changing event, then you can actually ask Social Security for a redetermination to possibly lower or eliminate those IRMA surcharges that are added on to your base Part B and Part D premiums.
You said life-changing events. Mm-hmm. Like, give me some examples.
Absolutely. The most common examples people use for this redetermination could be work stoppage or retirement, for example, marriage, divorce, death of a loved one. So those life-changing examples are the ones that are recognized.
But it's on me to let them know I've had this event.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. This is a lot. And, you know, like Nancy said, she was feeling really overwhelmed. What's out there? What can people do to kind of navigate the complexities of Medicare?
Absolutely. Medicare is such a giant topic. You know, Medicare.gov, the website, is a great resource to turn to. You can also seek out the individual health insurance carriers that offer various Medicare plan products.
Okay.
You can also seek out an independent agent that represents one of those Medicare insurance plans. Or you could maybe go to your state health insurance assistance program. That's known as the SHIP office. Sometimes your local senior center to seek some additional help and guidance there. And then lastly, maybe even an insurance broker.
Okay. What is an insurance broker and any watch-outs we should be aware of?
So Medicare brokers, they're licensed to sell a variety of the Medicare insurance plans, but they shouldn't rush you or pressure you into enrolling into a specific plan that they sell necessarily. They should be more consultative in their approach.
Okay.
They also shouldn't be discussing certain other products in your Medicare meeting. They shouldn't be trying to sell you life insurance or annuities or anything like that.
Okay. Fidelity is a broker.
So Fidelity Medicare Services operates as a broker. Mm. We have a team of licensed health insurance agents. They specialize solely in Medicare. They're actually salaried employees. They're not incentivized by commissions to steer you into a certain plan. Mm. Their ideal goal is to just guide you to your ideal outcome and make sure that you're confident in your healthcare choices in retirement.
Okay. And finding someone you trust, especially for healthcare, is important. It certainly was to the women we talked to. Let's get their take.
A friend of mine that lives here is like 78. And I said, we were having wine one night at the club. And I said, so Denise, do you know anything about this Medicare stuff? Because I'm kind of confused. She said, I got a guy. And I said, okay. And I knew she had a guy for everything. So yeah. She gave me the guy's card and he was the first consultant that I called. So he actually educated me a lot.
Is this what my raging cocktail party conversations are going to be for no one? Probably. Hey, you got Medicare?
Exactly.
How are you doing?
Life changes. Exactly.
That's awesome.
Well, but think about it, though. What if you get seriously sick?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to make bad choices, and then you're seriously sick or in and out of the hospital or whatever, and right. You can't afford to pay for it.
Janet, where do you think you would be without the senior center?
I would not be in good shape by any means, because it is a big decision to retire.
Mm. Right.
A very big decision. It's life-changing.
Yeah. Mm.
And you really have to have your eggs in order as far as, you know, to want to go on and live a comfortable life.
Yeah.
So
what's your advice for Jean Marie?
Just be aware, pay attention, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. ask questions, mm-hmm. and enjoy your youth. That's my advice. But this is what you do. You learn from your friends.
Right.
Okay, that's what I had to do. Yeah. Friends that were older than me guided me in the right direction.
I guess I needed more older friends.
All right, we're learning. Ever important question, when do I enroll in Medicare?
Absolutely. So upon your 65th birthday, most people are going to utilize their initial enrollment period or their IEP to enroll into Medicare.
Okay.
That's a 7-month window, 3 months before your 65th birthday month, then your birthday month, and then 3 months after. So you can utilize that time frame to enroll into Medicare. Now, again, if you are someone who is going to continue to work past the age of 65 and you're going to stay on your creditable group health insurance coverage, then you will actually utilize a special enrollment period when you come off of that group plan that helps you avoid any late enrollment penalties down the road.
Okay. Do I need to revisit my plan once I've made it?
Emphatically, yes.
Okay.
You should do that. So take advantage of Medicare's annual enrollment period. It happens every year, October 15th through December 7th, especially if you're enrolled into a Medicare Advantage plan or a prescription drug plan. You want to review your plan and make sure that it fits your needs at the lowest cost possible. Plans change every year. The benefits change every year. Your needs change every year. Mm-hmm. So just really a great time to review that plan and make changes if necessary.
What if I don't make any changes?
If you don't make any changes, if you're happy with your plan, you continue to pay any premiums that are due, that plan will automatically renew January 1st and you'll continue on with the same plan.
I want to give you the last word, but let's check in one final time with our roundtable.
Overall thoughts about Medicare now that you're in it. Janet?
Medicare, it's done well for us so far. Again, we're new to it, but haven't been hospitalized. But what we have had to use so far, I've had no issues.
Nancy, how about you?
That's good to know. I just want to stay healthy and not get sick.
Jean Marie. After you've heard everything, kind of some flags and some goodness, just end of the day, how are you feeling now that, you know, you're getting closer?
I think I'll be able to navigate it much more than, you know, if I hadn't had this conversation or had friends that are talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will definitely do a lot of research.
Ryan, we have definitely given people a lot to consider. if they're walking away from this conversation, you really want them to remember key points. What would those be?
Sure. So first, know your enrollment timeframes. Each person's timeframe could be a little bit different depending on their unique circumstances, but do the research, plan ahead so you're avoiding those possible penalties or missteps. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I would say ask a lot of questions. Find a trusted resource, you know, to gather that information so you can plan ahead and know what's coming at you and why Medicare is so different from what you're used to in health insurance. And lastly, review your coverage annually. This is so, so important mm-hmm. for people to remember. Medicare's annual enrollment period is a prime time to do that because your plans could change, the cost could change, and you don't want to be on a plan that doesn't meet your needs.
Ryan, we have jammed so much information into this conversation, but you made it really clear and understandable. So thank you, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you need help finding the right Medicare plan for you, or maybe you're weighing whether to delay enrollment, we have some great resources on our website. It's fidelity.com/moneyunscripted. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe to the podcast, and we'll see you next time. It's your life. Get your money's worth. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. We do not offer every plan available in your area. Please contact Medicare.gov, 1-800-MEDICARE, or your local state health insurance program to get information on all of your options. Fidelity Medicare Services is operated by Fidelity Health Insurance Services, LLC, or FHIS. And FMR, LLC, FMR, is the parent company of FHIS. Unless otherwise indicated, the information and items published in this document are provided by FHIS for informational purposes only and are not intended as tax, legal, or investment advice. Fidelity Medicare Services, FMS, and Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, FBS, are separate business entities. FMS is not a product or service of FBS. Other than certain demographic information such as name, address, and date of birth, the information you provide to FMS or FBS will not be shared with the other entity. Therefore, if you want FBS to consider the information you have provided to FMS in your investment planning with FBS, you must separately provide that information to FBS. The services described are provided by FHIS. In this capacity, FHIS acts as an insurance broker or agent, collectively referred to as a producer. FHIS and its representatives are appropriately licensed in all states in which they conduct business. FHIS and its producers are certified representatives of insurance carriers that offer Medicare Supplement Insurance and of Medicare Advantage, HMO, PPO, and PFFS organizations, and standalone prescription drug plans with a Medicare contract. The insurance products are issued by third-party insurance companies, which are unaffiliated with FHIS and FMR. FHIS earns a commission paid by the insurance company based on your enrollment in a health plan. FHIS agents and representatives are not compensated based on your enrollment in a health plan and do not receive commissions from third-party insurance companies. Attention! Medicare has neither reviewed nor endorsed the information in this podcast. Fidelity Medicare Services, FHIS, and FMR are not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. For a complete list of available plans, please contact 1-800-MEDICARE. TTY users should call 1-877-486-2048 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or consult www.medicare.gov. This may be considered an advertisement or solicitation for insurance. All trademarks and service marks in this podcast belong to FMR or an affiliate, except third-party trademarks and service marks, which are the property of their respective owners. The retiree healthcare cost estimate is based on a single person retiring in 2025, 65 years old, with life expectancies that align with Society of Actuaries RP 2014 healthy annuitant rates projected with mortality improvement scale MP 2020 as of 2022. Actual assets needed may be more or less depending on actual health status, area of residence, and longevity. Estimate is net of taxes. The Fidelity Retiree Healthcare Cost Estimate assumes individuals do not have employer-provided retiree healthcare coverage, but do qualify for the federal government's insurance program, Original Medicare. The calculation takes into account Medicare Part B base premiums and cost-sharing provisions, such as deductibles and coinsurance associated with Medicare Part A and Part B, inpatient and outpatient medical insurance. It also considers Medicare Part D, prescription drug coverage, premiums, and out-of-pocket costs, as well as certain services excluded by Original Medicare. The estimate does not include other health-related expenses, such as over-the-counter medications, most dental services, and long-term care. Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. The views and opinions expressed by the Fidelity speaker are his or her own as of the date of the recording and do not necessarily represent the views of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Any such views are subject to change at any time based on market or other conditions, and Fidelity disclaims any responsibility to update such views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice and, because investment decisions are based on numerous factors, factors may not be relied on as an indication of trading intent on behalf of any Fidelity product. Neither Fidelity nor the Fidelity speaker can be held responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered. Please consult your tax or financial advisor for additional information concerning your specific situation. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. The third-party contributors are not employed by Fidelity and did not receive compensation for their services. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917. Fidelity Health Insurance Services, Corporate Trust Center, 1209 Orange Street, Wilmington, Delaware, 19801. Copyright 2025, FMR LLC, all rights reserved.